Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
But listen, let's make a confession to our neighbor this morning. Tell your neighbor either to the left or to the right of you, I'm a champion. If you've never seen a champion before, check me out. Amen. Folks need to know what a champion looks like. They might as well be looking at you. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
Well, I want to share some things with you this morning that I believe that the Lord has shared with me. Would that be okay?
Amen.
That's part of my responsibility to the body of Christ to try and help people understand the time, like the sons of Issachar, to discern the times and then have wisdom to know what to do. I believe that we are living in exciting times. I truly do. I know that sometimes they can look bleak, but that's good news. How many realize in the life of a believer, it's always good news because you're surrounded with the light of the gospel? That's right, amen. So let me just convey to you a few things before I get started on our subject this morning. Let me just tell you this. There's a season or a year that we have in 2018 to be able to settle sonship. Everybody say, settle sonship. You see, the Lord, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about concerning this year is that he wants to talk to us differently this year.
All right.
Now, how many realize that, you have to mature a relationship to be able to communicate in a greater mature way in that relationship? So that means that you and I are going to have to be comfortable with some terminology like chastening. Are we okay? Or the word rebuke.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
Okay? There's a lot of people that avoid the 12th chapter of Hebrews because they don't understand what the writer is trying to convey. You see, if you'll look at what is referred to as the root of bitterness, the writer is basically saying this: people become bitter because they are not informed with the right information. Have you ever been in a room, maybe, I'm not a mechanic, but if I were in a room with mechanics, how many realize I would feel a little intimidated?
Right.
Because I don't know what they know. And it's not that God does not want us to know what we need to know. Many times, you can't say something in a relationship because people are not ready for it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? 2 years ago, the Lord said this to me. He said, I'm going to do this year what I've never done before, and it's not because I couldn't do it.
Come on.
He was suggesting to me that I was the problem. All right, nobody in this camp of spiritual giants knows what I'm talking about.
Come on.
Right? So I want to encourage you. God wants to be able to talk to us in a different way. I got a feeling that this is a year of him introducing to us himself in a way that we've never known him. And the second thing that I want to say is this. A prophecy came out of John Kilpatrick's camp in the fall of last year. And he said, the prophecy said that America was coming into an eclipse or coming into a time of darkness. I got very excited about that. Because normally when you hear stuff like this, everybody wants to get into fear. Everybody wants to get trouble. What's happening? What's gonna take place? Well, about 6 months prior to, the Lord started downloading to me that I do my very best work in the night.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
So when I heard that prophecy, I began to realize that God was going to give me an opportunity to see better in the dark than I can see in the day. Come on, somebody. What I'm trying to tell you is that no matter what this year throws at you, there's already somebody that's already prepped us for the victory that he's wanting us to come into. Would that be okay? So let me just convey to you what the Lord has conveyed to me. If you will open your Bibles or your cell phones or your Surface Pads or your iPads, whatever you use, to 1 Kings chapter 18 this morning. I'm thankful to be in my home church, thankful to be preaching for my bishop, grateful to be here, to be able to start the year so close to home, because I've already been a little farther north, and I ran into 14-degree weather that I wasn't dressed for. Can anybody hear it in my voice? Okay. You'll have to excuse me this morning. I'm going to do my best with the grace of God on me. working through me to be able to share God's word with you. When I guess if I have a sermon subject or title this morning, it would be this. It's time to see what the prophets have been hearing.
Come on now.
Come on, somebody. I want you to know that you're in a time of manifestation. I feel the grace of God so strong on this year, it's not even funny. Some of the words that I've already released to corporate America has already yielded $4 million deals. Would anybody like to taste that kind of prosperity? All right, I'm going to try and talk you into it. But in Matthew 11 and 4, the scripture says it this way. Go back and tell John the things that you see and hear. Now, how many realize that he said this? He said, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, the lepers are being cleansed, the dead's being raised, and blessed is he who is not ashamed of me.
All right.
Right? 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 says this, that God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, and then a little word that seems to be overlooked. It's called miracles.
Come on.
I want to encourage you that you're in the time of your miracle. I exhort you to look at your marriage in a different light this year. I exhort you to look at your business opportunities in a different light this year. I exhort you to look at your children in a different light this year. Something is happening this year that's got grace all wrapped up in it. Look at your neighbor and say, this is the year of my miracle. In 1 Kings, I'm here to tell you this morning that whatever drought you have been in, it is over. Come on, somebody. The Bible states it this way. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is. Always remember that in the kingdom, there is always going to be there is. There is your healing. There is your miracle. There is your breakthrough. There is your, come on, somebody. It'll always be there before you get there. This is why it's so vitally important that you be people of his presence. I can't tell you enough. I can't emphasize enough how vitally important the presence of God is. To be able to live my life from the influence of his presence is the greatest thing that I could ever do. The presence of God will do for you what you can't do for yourself. The presence of God will take you where you can't take yourself. I cannot strongly emphasize enough how vitally important it is to be doing what God has created us to do. The very thing that ushers us into his presence, and that is to learn how to worship him with reckless abandonment. Worship him like one pant leg's on fire.
Come on,
amen. Yep. I want to encourage you, friends, because I got a feeling that God wants to begin to stimulate in our lives a desire, or from the desire in our hearts and from our lives, an ability to host him.
All right.
Okay? Yep. So he's saying something here. He's saying there is the sound of abundance of rain.
All right.
I want to encourage you, because there is, it is there before it even arrives here. But all you and I are just one shout away, one willingness to praise him away, one dance away, one confession of faith away. I encourage you to hold the course this morning. Regardless of what you're facing, hold the course this morning. This year's got your name written all over it. I believe that this year's got this church's name written all over it. It's time for this community to come to Jesus. It's time for revival to break out in unprecedented ways. It's time for things to happen. I don't know about you, but I am sick and tired of a signless gospel. So there is the sound of the abundance of rain. The verse after this says this. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to Mount Carmel, or the top of Mount Carmel. Now, I love any kind of mountaintop experience. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 9 that states this. Saul had lost some wealth, his father's wealth. And his armor bearer said, well, the best thing for us to do to recover the wealth that's missing is for us to go and find a prophet. How many realize that there are apostles and prophets in the body of Christ?
Yeah.
And the scripture says that they went looking for him. And they were met by some ladies that were coming down off a mountaintop. And the confession was this, as they asked where the prophet was. Well, he's up on the mountaintop because he's blessing a feast. The people can't eat until the prophet blesses it. Can I exhort you that there are certain revelations? Let me encourage you. What a prophet will do is he'll lay in the pathway a revelation for future generations to discover. Are you hearing me? Normally talking beyond the situation. Trying to talk people into what they're about ready to partake of. Are you with me? He said the prophet's up on the mountaintop blessing the feast because the people can't eat until the prophet blesses it. Now, this is what the prophet said to the one that was looking for the wealth that was lost. Don't talk to me because God already spoke to me yesterday about your arrival today. Now, I don't know about you, but I like being around anybody like that. Somebody that has been prepared by God to know me, and yet I don't know them. How many realize that you're in a situation of being fetched? Mephibosheth was fetched. David heard that Mephibosheth was living where he should have never been living. He knew that his rightful place was at the king's table.
Come on.
Are you listening? And the Bible says that he sends a messenger to fetch him. You know you're being fetched when somebody's been prepared to know you and you're not prepared to know them. And you know why you're being fetched? Because you belong somewhere. You see, his problem was this. I don't belong at the king's table. Somebody dropped me early in my life that I trusted.
Come on. Free.
You'd be surprised what people go through that shapes their mentality to make them think that they don't belong.
Yeah.
You do belong. Regardless of how many times you've been dropped. Hallelujah. Regardless of how many times you've trusted.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you've been through. No matter how crippled you feel you are.
Yeah. Come on.
You belong. You see, the good news is being at the king's table, the only one that knows something about your walk is the king.
Yeah.
Because when you're sitting down, all you can see is from the waist up.
Come on. Come on.
And if you don't think that there's other people at that table that's got some problems, you're deceived.
My God.
You see, there's a rioter there.
Yeah.
There's a rapist there.
Right.
I got a feeling that maybe your situation is not all that extreme. So he said, look, he said, you got to eat what I eat. You got to eat it where I eat it. Because tomorrow I'll take you down off the mountaintop and I'll turn you loose in a direction for you to be able to discover your wealth.
All right.
So thank God for high altitude meetings.
Right.
Thank God for influence that you need to be influenced by that will begin to shape your thinking outside of the thinking that you maybe came into the relationship with. God wants to talk to us differently. So the Bible says then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Now, Bishop, there was a day where I could do that. But I'm not even going to try that this morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But let me give you three things concerning the prophet's posture. Number one, he is basically stating this. I have nothing to do with the outcome of what God's ready to do on the face of the earth. I am just somebody that's heard what God wants to do and then bold enough to convey it.
Come on.
Right? God give us some preachers that won't want to take credit for what only God can do. God give us some ministry that will be shaped and clothed with the right garment called humility to be able to serve God in his presence or from his presence and with his power.
Yeah.
The second thing is this. He's in great appreciation because the earth has been in a drought for 3.5 years. I don't know about you, but you have no idea how thankful I am to be alive and well in 2018. You have no idea how grateful I am to be a messenger in this hour to the body of Christ. I'm telling you, friends, that this is the turning point. This is your year for something to go in a whole different direction than maybe that it's been going in.
Come on now.
You know, the Presbyterians were excited about this the other day. Amen, y'all. And thirdly, when you bow, it is an act of honor. It is an act of acknowledgement. So the prophet is basically saying, I give you all the praise and the glory for this. God, you're about ready to shake the globe with something powerful. And Lord, I can't help it but find it in my heart to give you all the honor in this. I bow before you. I acknowledge you. So watch this. The next verse tells us this. Then Elijah sent his servant. Anybody ready to go?
Come on.
Anybody ready to do something great for God?
Hallelujah. Yes.
Go up now. Look towards the sea. Now, Pastor, you're a teacher of the book of Revelation. Just the classes are not long enough, according to my in-laws. But the word sea is a very interesting word in the book of Revelation. It speaks of mass groups of people, society. So the servant is looking at society. I don't know about you, but I got a feeling that our culture needs to be shaken.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. You're not looking at a preacher that wants to be politically correct or socially acceptable. I just can't roll like that. If culture is different than the kingdom, then the culture needs to change. Are you with me? So he says, I want you to take a look at humanity. I want you to take a look at the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Now this is interesting to me, because we are in the time of seeing what the prophets are hearing. So watch, the Bible says seven times he said, go again. Seven is the number of completion. You see, I believe this. I believe you can't send the wrong people to the right mountaintop.
All right.
Because they will not have it in them to finish the duration. Am I preaching to the right people today? Is there something down on the inside of you that says this? I will not quit until I see what God has declared. Is there a tenacity in you? Is there an ambition in you? Is there a fight in you? How many realize it's not the size of the dog that's in the fight? It's the size of the fight that's in the dog. And I want you to know that that fight down on the inside of you will do for you what a phone booth did for Clark Kent. Come on, are you hearing me? Greater is he that is in you. Somebody help me preach than he that is in the world. We're just in this world. We are not of this world. We have been redeemed from the curse that governs and controls this world. We've been given power and authority to tread upon scorpions and serpents and over all the works of the devil. It's time for somebody to say, you know what? Come hell or high water, I will finish what God has put in my heart to finish.
Come on. Yeah.
Pastor Steve, I'm a finisher. Regardless of what I face, regardless of how what I declare is accepted, you don't think that this is the first rodeo that I've had to preach through? You know how many times I've had pastors across the nation say, you shouldn't talk like this? Well, why not? If God keeps confirming his word. You see, I've gained a boldness. I've gained a confidence that whatever God declares to me, I'm just going to go ahead and declare it to the people, whether they're looking at it like a cow looking at a new gate or not. Somebody's got to say something. Come on, amen. So listen, sometimes, and let me encourage you, anybody ever wondered in your heart some of the things that God has said that hasn't come to pass and why? Let me exhort you. Many times God will say something at the beginning of your walk, but it will not be fulfilled until the end of your walk. You know why? Because it requires a certain element of character and maturity. Somebody say, I got to own it. Let me encourage you. God would have never said what he said, something that you can't shake yourself free from, something that you can't forget, unless God knew that you possessed the character and the integrity to be able to manifest it at some point in time.
All right.
Your destiny is crying to you in all kinds of ways. We just need to pay attention. Are you with me? So you got to send the right people to the right mountaintop. You know what's interesting? Seven is the number of completion, and completion ends droughts, because the drought never enters the picture. Let me exhort you. People get into spiritual droughts because they stop seeking the unfolding revelation of God that reveals more of him And how many realize that there will always be more of him?
Amen.
Right? Let me encourage you with Psalms 105 and verse 19. There was a young man, you'll have to just hold your place here, and let me take you to this passage. Until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. We're talking about Joseph here. How many realize that Joseph was not ready to be second in command of Egypt when he was, you know, telling his brothers, you know, your haystacks are going to bow down and worship me. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever gotten the cart before the horse? Anybody ever gotten out of timing? How many realize that timing is huge? How many realize that he was not ready to be second in command when he was walking around with that coat of many colors and saying to his brothers, look at my swag.
Come on.
Right?
That's right.
How many realize that God knew that he needed to be in the pit? He needed to be sold into slavery. He needed to be framed. He needed to end up in prison. How many realize that God knows sometimes what we need to go through?
Come on.
Are you with me? A lot of people think, well, if I'm serving God, it's just going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be easy street. I'll never forget the sermon that I heard by Pastor. He said this. I know Bishop calls you the old dog. I call you the big dog. But this man preached one night on Daniel being in the lion's den. And this is what he said. He said, God did not deliver Daniel from the lion's den. He delivered Daniel from what was in it. Oh, are you hearing me? Man, that leaped in my spirit. I don't know about you, but I about had a fit right where I was sitting. In fact, I went to him and I said, oh my God. I said, we missed opportunity tonight. I want you to know, friends, we've got to be discerning. We've got to recognize when a rhema comes after us because it's an effectual, fervent opportunity that invites us out of one thing and invites us into another. God is waiting to hook up with his people. God is waiting on us to join him. But sometimes we've got to be willing to go through tests, trials, and tribulations because they are awakening factors to give us the character and the fortitude needed to be able to persevere. I'll guarantee you what's about ready to manifest in you is something that has never manifested in you before. And you're going to need the maturity to be able to govern that. Let me tell you something. The manifestation that is coming to the body of Christ in this hour is a manifestation that's never happened before. And it's going to require mature people to be able to handle this. So he said the word tested him. And I love this. Because we know that nobody could interpret what was troubling Pharaoh. And he was called on. And he said, what's happening is there's going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of leanness, 14 altogether. 14 is the biblical number that means salvation. I want you to know that this man and all that he went through was nothing more than a man that was bringing salvation to the world and salvation to his own family that tried to kill him. He was the 11th born among 12. 11 is the number of disorder. My friends, you might not know what you are actually prepared for. You might not know really what's on the table. But I will tell you this. You are somebody that's called to make a difference.
Yes, you are.
I'm going to show you something here in just a quick minute. So the word tested him. But let's go back now. Let's go back now to 1 Kings 18. I think, where are we at? Right around verse 43? And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand. Bishop, how many times have you heard this preached? Talking about the fivefold ministry, the size of a man's hand. The fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. But I want you to catch this. Ministry is supposed to be doing something.
Right.
It's supposed to be equipping us for the work of the ministry. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got something to do.
Got something to do.
Oh, amen. Let me encourage you. For the last 30 years, Bishop, give me a witness. For the last 30 years, ministry has flowed from the pulpit. It has not flowed from the pew.
Right.
And if this city's going to be taken, if this city's, if we're going to make a difference in this city, it's going to require you.
Right.
It's going to require you understanding who you are. Let me encourage you. It's going to require you to know God better than you know him now. And God wants that. I mean, you walk in a different confidence. You walk in a different character when you walk under a different influence.
Come on.
Amen. So I want to encourage you. There was a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Fivefold ministry is beginning to understand. And the crazy thing, I mean, as an itinerant minister, when you go into somebody's pulpit, you are always under somebody's authority. And some people will allow you to take your liberty, and some people won't. I mean, I've even had ministers tell me this. It's okay to pray in tongues when you're praying for people in the altar, but don't pray in tongues when you're on the stage.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, well, what's the difference? We're only talking about 3 feet here. Control. Ministry, so afraid of the reaction of the people. I am more afraid of the reaction of God than the people.
Come on. Yeah.
I want to leave these services today with peace in my heart that I've delivered to you and I've conveyed to you exactly what God wanted to say to you in this moment. There is a word in this moment for you. Come on, amen. Ministry is deathly afraid. Let me encourage you. You're only going to be as great as the ministry staff of this church will allow you to be. And the problem in most pulpits in America is pulpits are afraid of the advancement of the people, the maturity of the people. Aren't you aware that this is an earmark of what you've actually done? When you can mature people past the pitfalls of what they came into the relationship with.
Yeah.
Isn't this what we're after? We're not after developing people dependent on the pulpit. We're asking people to learn to be dependent on the presence of God, the very thing that set them free.
Yeah.
Are you with me? So the scripture says this. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariots. I got one. Thank you. Bishop's one. You know what? That'll match my suit. Bless your heart. Amen. Prepare your chariots and go down before the rain stops you. Now, I don't know about you, but I would like to get into that. Hello? And it came to pass the seventh. Okay, we need to move on. Verse 45. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds. Everybody shout clouds.
Wow.
Let me encourage you. We're not talking about the cloud that's the size of a man's fist anymore. This is a plural word. We're talking about multiple clouds. The reason I want to bring you into that understanding is because scripturally you are symbolic as clouds. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the great cloud of witnesses. Oh, amen. Are you able to put up those scriptures for me and we'll just run through them real quick? I want to come back to this. The next verse, I believe it's in Jude verse 12. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. How many realize that that has been the mentality in most churches in America?
That's the truth.
This is not about serving ourselves. This is about learning how to mature to the degree of serving people.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, come on, y'all. Amen. We don't need to parade in late and leave early. We need to bring a towel and not a title.
Come on.
We need to learn how to wash people's feet. We need to learn how to lay down our lives and so that we can find a different way of living. I'm telling you, it's all about everything about our ministry is servant driven. You know, Bishop asked me this morning, he said, do you want water? And I said, well, sure. I said, that'd be great. He said, you want a cold room temperature? How would you like it? And I said, man, I'm easy. We are not a ministry that is in high maintenance. I don't run with people that are in high maintenance. I run with people that want to win souls and cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and watch the word of the Lord confirm. Are you with me? I run with people that just want to be subservient to one another. It's not big me, little you, big you, little me's.
Right, right.
We're all in this thing together.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I want to encourage you. The scripture says These are clouds in your love feast. They're clouds without water, carried about by winds, laid on them trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Now, I don't want to be that kind of a cloud. I don't want to fake it until I can't make it, Pastor Steve. I don't want anybody saying something about me that I know in my heart's not true. I want to be the same outside of the church as I am in the church.
Yeah.
Come on, amen. Yeah. And you'll find it. My family will tell you, dad's just a loose cannon. If he feels the word of the Lord in the mall, he's going to prophesy. You know what it sounds like when you prophesy in the mall? Thus saith the Lord God. 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 Amen. Watch the next verse. Everyone proud in heart. No, that's not the correct verse. Proverbs 16. Did I write that down wrong, fellas? I'm sorry. Let me give you the correct verse. Proverbs 16:5. In the light of the king's face is life, and hid favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. I believe there's hid favor in you. I believe there's treasure in you that you don't know about. You get close enough to God for God to show you what he knows about you. I got a feeling that it could get very interesting. Because there's somebody down on the inside of us that knows us in ways that we don't know ourselves. With God, all things are always possible. Because he's never looking at the flaw. Because the flaw is not who you are. He's looking at the hid favor that's down on the inside of you and giving you as many opportunities to respond in the right way as he possibly can to draw out the purpose in which you're created for. You're not operating in the full substance of who you are, but the full substance is operating in you. Thank God for this walk. I don't know about you, but it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me. I'm excited about my relationship with God. The next verse tells us this. Zechariah, I believe Zechariah 10:1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. For the Lord will make flashing clouds. How many realize that you're supposed to stand out? You're supposed to make a difference. When you walk into a room, you're supposed to change the atmosphere. Just because of who you are. You are a child of God. We are light in the midst of darkness. I'm not trying to blend. Scripture says this. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Now let's go to the next verse before we go back to our text. Isaiah 62:6, and I love this. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. How many realize that something great has happened in Jerusalem about a month ago? And I'm going to show you the reason why. We are in the time of prophetic fulfillment. In 2015, the Lord said this to me. He said, son, he said, the bear is out of hibernation and wants to move south. 3 weeks later, Russia moves military forces into Syria. It set off a chain of events. What took place? All of a sudden, the Pope comes to America. Never visited our government before, but now he's visiting the presidents. What happened after that? Putin comes. What happened after that? The Chinese president comes. And 3 weeks after the Chinese president comes, he moves military forces into Syria. The next year, 2016, July 15th, the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, he said, watch the nation of Turkey. And what happened in 2016 in July? A coup breaks out. Would you like to know why? Ezekiel chapter 38 verses 1 through 3. Turkey is the trigger to Armageddon, and Armageddon is already militarily prepped. You see, in the Western world, we don't think like this. We don't have a global perspective. Most of us have a self-image perspective. I want a global perspective. And it's time for the church to put their fingers on the pulse of what God is saying, not only to this nation. Let the dark times come if they come. Mike, I don't know when we're going to leave the earth, but while I'm here, I have a purpose.
Right.
Come on, amen. Yeah. I'll see better at night than I do in the day. What's interesting to me is all the animals that God created for Adam to name could see better at night than they could in the day. The only one that couldn't was Adam. And what's interesting to me is this. Adam, after he did what he did, he couldn't find fulfillment in what he did. And he longed for a mate. And God caused a deep sleep to come on him. And he took from Adam what was already there, a bone. Bones are symbolic to promises. I'm telling you, the promise is already there. The fulfillment is already there. You got to remember, I mean, we could go through all kinds of scriptures, but one of my favorite is this. Remember when Elisha was promised a double portion and he died one miracle short of the fulfillment of that 14th miracle? It wasn't until his grave was uncovered and a corpse was thrown in on the promises, because the promises were lying in wait whether Elisha was there or not. If God declared it, he's going to do it. What I'm telling you is the promise is already in you. It might take a dark season. It might take a test, a trial. It might take a lion's den.
All right.
It might take it. I don't know where I'm at in time. I'm not wearing a watch. Ooh, I got some time. Amen. So watch. He says this. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest till he establishes and until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Everybody ready? Here we go. What happened last year in Jerusalem is a revelation of prophetic fulfillment I have been waiting on for 15 years. The Lord showed me something 15 years out, and I've been doing my best to exhort the body of Christ to do what they need to do to be able to be ready for the moment. Are you ready for the moment? That's the question, okay? We have to remember something. Not only is there things going on in Syria, but the main thing is to watch the time clock of Israel. When this happened, it set off a chain of prophetic fulfillment. Watch this. I was running with a born-again, spirit-filled rabbi last year. Now, anytime you're preaching from the Old Testament, you better be spot on. You better have your A game, is what I'm trying to, say. And if we could go back to 1 Kings 18, I want to capitalize on this, okay? Wherever we were in 1 Kings 18. But the fact of the matter is this. 1948, what happened? God established Israel as a nation. Anytime God does anything great for the motherland, the homeland, all through the book of 1 Kings, God keeps saying this, Jerusalem is my city. Jerusalem is where I've placed my name. Jerusalem is what I'm committed to. Anytime God does something great in Israel, there is a ripple effect that runs through the body of Christ. 1948, the nation of Israel is established as a nation. What took place in the body of Christ? In 1948, a healing movement broke out. A miracle movement broke out. Somebody help me. A.A. Allen came on the scene. Oral Roberts came on the scene. Catherine Kuhlman came on the scene. What I'm saying is this. Something's happened in the nation of Israel. And if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I believe that he is, then we as the body of Christ need to be ready for a wave to sweep through our nation this year.
Yeah. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Now, what happened in the meantime, that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, so that Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel, however you want to pronounce it. Next verse. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, or Jezreel, however you want to pronounce it. You got to understand something about the prophetic office. The prophetic office will show you how to outrun average humanity.
All right.
The prophetic office will keep you in a timing. of looking ahead and not looking back. Something's happened in Israel. Not only was God the same in 1948 in the body of Christ, or for the nation of Israel in the body of Christ, but what happened in 1967? Something broke out called the Six-Day War with Egypt. What did God do? He delivered his people, and then he sent a rippling effect through the body of Christ. When God did what he did in 2017, it was a precursor for a move of revival, not only in the world, but also in this country. I believe this. I believe that in 2018, we are in the 70th year from Israel's founding as a nation. 70 is the number of restoration. It is the number of deliverance. And friends, I want you to know, if there is ever a time for deliverance and restoration, it's now. God being the same, and I believe that he is. Does anybody believe that God is the same? If that is the fact, then you can expect in 2018 a major move of the Holy Ghost. Now, how is this going to happen? It's not going to happen through a cloud that's the size of a man's fist. It's going to happen through you. You have to understand that you are the ones that are carrying the rain. This is not a time to avoid. This is not a time to be too busy with your own lives. This is a time to pay attention. This is a time to cry out to God and say, God, use me. I was selected by you to live in such a time as this. I was up north, and this apple orchard farmer contacted me, and we got to talking, and he said, Tim, he says, one thing that's interesting about apple trees is apple trees are designed to suck the moisture out of the ground and push it through their branches and limbs. He said, the only problem with an apple tree is this. They not only do this, whether it's harvest time or not, he said, but an apple tree, it's the way it's designed. If it is harvest season, it's still going to put that water pressure through the limbs and the branches. And he said, normally what will happen is the fruit will split wide open.
My God.
And my spirit jumped. And I began to realize, man, we're in the time of what Jesus cried out with in John 7 on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. Are you with me? You see, I'm going to use some scriptures here in just a minute that I know that it's for an advent of future time. But you've got to understand something. We are walking in a moment that once was a future time. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17? The scripture says this, that Jesus is coming in the clouds. It's a plural text. Now, I know that it's referring to the church leaving the earth. I get that. We're talking about a future advent. I get that. But my friends, the time that we were in was once a future advent. And if you are symbolic to the clouds, then you better pay attention to what God is saying to the earth. You're carrying something for such a time as this.
Yeah.
Revelation 1 and 7 says that he's coming with the clouds.
Right.
Come on, somebody help me. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 12 declares this, I, the God of Israel, I, the God, the Almighty God, is coming in the black cloud. Are you with me? Now, I understand that Matthew 24 and verse 30 says that there will come a day where he will come on the clouds. But while we're here, you and I are carrying something. And I'm trying to tell you that there is no better time than now to get on board with what God is doing. Yeah. It is time for Crystal River to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ministers are crying out all over the nation, what do I have to do to see my city changed? All we have to do is to do what we were created to do. Worship God, get into hosting God, begin to live your life from the influence of God, and understand that you are the one that's going to make a difference. He'll make a difference in your life. Ministry team here will make a difference in your life, but you're the ones that makes a difference in the community.
Come on. Yeah.
Revival, I'm telling you, let me tell you something. Revival is going to hit whether you're on board or not. And one thing I love about this house is this house chooses to stay relevant. This house chooses to stay where God is moving. And I want you to know that there are coming greater moves to this ministry than has ever happened before.
Hallelujah.
Let me just encourage you. Businessmen, businesswomen, get ready for record deals this year. Get ready. You know, revival, if you study it in history, it always happens in the marketplace first. Why do you think the Dow Jones is some 5,000 points above average now? I'm telling you, we've got the right guy at the right helm, regardless of how crazy he talks sometimes. Yikes. I thought I said some bold things. Hello? But I will tell you that this man, he is of the descendants of John Knox. He is not a politician. He is a reformer. And this nation has been given an opportunity to see its greatest days. Are you aware that this man was prophesied about? I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know why he was prophesied about this by a prophet some 7 years before he took office? And he was prophesied about that he would serve two terms. A young prophet on the West Coast, the minute he was elected, said this. The Lord said to him, he said, this man will serve two terms. And at the end of his second term, all hell will break loose in America. What I'm trying to tell you is now is the time. Strike while the iron's hot. Right? There was a man that had a vision not too long ago of sparks coming out of heaven and falling in the earth. And wherever the sparks fell, revival broke out. Now watch this. He got curious about where the sparks were coming from. And it was coming from a blacksmith shop in heaven. And he stuck his head in the door looking at whatever the blacksmith was making. And you know what he was making? He was making this huge sickle for the harvest. And he was pounding it out. And wherever the sparks went, wherever they hit the earth, revival broke out.
Hallelujah.
James 5 and 7, and I'll close with this. The farmer waits patiently for the latter rain, that the earth might come into its harvest.
Right.
Are you with me? What I'm trying to tell you is things are not going to happen until you start making them happen. Amen. Now, the greatest thing that ever happened in this room today is for you to give your heart to Jesus.
Yes.
I make no bones about that. I'm not ashamed of God. God's not ashamed of me.
Yeah.
If I acknowledge him before men, men will get acknowledged before the Father. Are you with me? So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you are not right with God, if you are not saved, if you are not serving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and you need to either get saved for the first time or dedicate your life to God rededicate your life to God to serve him passionately, lift your hand right now and say, I want to get right. The hour, I see your hand. Put it up boldly if you mean it. Lift your hand right now. I see your hand. I see your hand. Everybody standing right now, I see your hand. Hands lifted to the Lord. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Let's pray a prayer. Say this with me, Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of every sin. And I receive that forgiveness today. Help me to love you the way you love me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me encourage you. That's right. Give him a praise. If you gave your heart to Jesus, if you rededicated your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you to make it known to the staff of the church. Tell somebody. Make a decision. I'm going to serve God the rest of my days. Now, you're a cloud carrying something. And you're ready to turn what you got loose on the face of the earth. If that's you, come on down.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.